you searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go.
The show,
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 this the way to go.
The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Lord have mercy that we understand as young men and young women of God how to deal with various types of people. Understand something. Everybody is not like you. At school, on your job, on your team, in your family, people act different. And sometimes when you're young or immature, you can let how other people act or treat you mess up your day. But we got to learn that nobody should have that much power over us. We need to learn, look at my notes, how to deal with various types of people in our life. Okay? Has anybody in here ever allowed someone to get you to act out of character? They said something, did something, and it had you thinking differently about yourself or your situation. Somebody said something or did something, and it had you looking at other folk in a different way. Folk can influence you. But again, we have to be to the point to where we know how to deal with various types of people so they don't influence us to get out of character. Now listen, I believe that the best way to handle people and to deal with people is according to God's word. That's the best way. Because the Bible teaches here in 1 John 5 and 4, the latter part, notice, it says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I can overcome what I deal with on a day-to-day basis and who I deal with if I use my faith, if I use the word of God. And I'm telling you, you're going to bump into folk that don't like you. You're going to bump into folk that are jealous of you. And you got to know how to deal with them. Look at somebody and say, you got to know how to deal with them. Yeah. And see, in the Bible, it teaches that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Okay. Now, here in our verse, y'all still with me? The proverb writer reveals some wisdom. He reveals that there are two types of people that eventually we're going to have to deal with, or two types of people you will come across in this journey of life. Two types of people. The first that he mentions is a person that enjoys folly. You're going to meet someone in middle school, high school, on the job, on your team, or maybe even in church. They enjoy folly. Thank you, Scott. Look at somebody and say, some folk enjoy folly. A person that enjoys folly suggests a number of things, but I just want to give you three attributes to help you identify them, because there's no need in you getting bent out of shape when you bump into somebody that enjoys folly. First of all, someone that enjoys folly is a petty person. They enjoy being petty, silly, like to just play games, call you and hang up, text you some crazy stuff, and then tell you they didn't text it to you. Just petty folk. I mean, you sharp from head to toe, but this one petty person, I don't like what you got on. I mean, just petty. Just silly. Have you ever met somebody like that before? Oh, Lord, you can get married and find out that your spouse ain't nothing but a petty person. Woo! I know some of y'all got decades before you get married. But some of you out here trying to get caught, but you better understand something. Some folk are just petty. Oh, my married couples ought to talk back to me. Them first 3-4 years of me being married to the great First Lady Baker, me and her used to be petty. She do me wrong, I'm going to do her wrong. Woo! She say something I don't like, guess what I'm going to do? Just being petty. And we enjoyed it. Woo! Good God. Made all them vows talking about how we going to love one another. For better or for worse, but just being petty. Some of you got friends. Guess what they are? Petty. I don't understand why you call them folk your friends. And they always acting silly. Secondly, someone that enjoys folly is messy. They messy. I mean, just all out of order. They know how you live, know what you're standing for, but they like to bring a lot of messy stuff to your front door. They want to talk about stuff that you know you don't want to talk about. Hear me out, girl. Just hear me out. You need to tell them, quit being messy. Folk that like to gossip, talk about other people's business, but ain't got their own life together. That's just being messy. That's messy. Ooh, all out of order. Just messy. Mighty quiet in here. Y'all know any messy folk? And finally, someone that loves folly, they enjoy doing dumb stuff. Know it's illegal, but they gonna do it anyway. Know it'll kill them, but they'll do it anyway. And then say they are having fun. I mean, just enjoy doing dumb stuff. What y'all doing tonight? Nothing, just drinking. That's that dumb stuff. What y'all doing tonight, man? Just gonna smoke a little bit. That's that dumb stuff. That's sin, but we can say that's also some dumb stuff. Have you ever enjoyed doing dumb stuff? You as a person that enjoyed folly. Lord have mercy. And again, you're going to bump into folk. You bump into folk when you go off to school, when you start working, or even in your neighborhood. They enjoy being folly. They enjoy it. They enjoy doing dumb stuff, being petty, and being messy. What does it mean to enjoy folly? To be petty, to be messy, and enjoy doing. Y'all ought to help me teach it. Say, what does it mean to be or enjoy folly? It means to be, come on, and enjoy doing what? Now, according to our verse, young people, someone that enjoys folly, look at the text, is a person that is destitute of discernment. Destitute of discernment. They lack discernment of wisdom. It's an indication that a person is one of two things. Either they haven't been taught what's right, or they've been taught what's right and they choose not to do it. A person just that enjoys doing dumb stuff, being petty or messy, either they don't go to church and haven't been taught, or they've been to church and they reject the word that's coming forth. They lack wisdom. And see, Solomon earlier said in the book of Proverbs that there are some young people, when he looked out, he saw young people that were simple and they lacked discernment. They didn't have wisdom. See, one trait you need to possess as a young woman or as a young man is wisdom. You need to know, look, I don't need to reject God's word. I need to put it into action. If I'm going to come to church, I need to pay attention, get at least one thing or more from the message, apply it to my life when I leave God's church. But if you come and you hear the word and you don't put it into action, you're going to be destroyed. That's what Hosea said in Hosea 4 and 6. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Why? Because they have rejected knowledge. And of course, knowledge and wisdom, it all goes together. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Look at Proverbs 2 and 6 to bag me up. Y'all still with me? Proverbs 2 and 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So I got to make sure I don't reject what's coming from God's mouth. Because if I reject it, when I leave here, I'm going to bump into folk that can get me to act out of character. And I'll be known in the church as a saint. But outside the church, I'll be known as a sinner. So I have to watch myself. I got to make sure I'm receiving what's coming from God's mouth, God's pastor, God's preacher that has been sent to be a blessing to me. Am I right about it? So two solutions. Y'all still with me? How do you deal with folk like this? How do you deal with folk that are petty, messy, and out of order? How do you deal with it? Because you got to learn to stand up for yourself. Whether you're in your teens, 20s, or older, you have to learn how to deal with folk. So the first solution, and let me flip it, is if you are the type of person that enjoys being messy, if you are the type of person that enjoys being petty, put it away. Stop it. Quit it. Don't do it no more. Just stop it. Because sometimes every now and then in every congregation, you're going to have a member that be on that dumb stuff. Look at somebody and say, just stop it. Don't treat me based upon what you heard about me. Get to know me first. Just because somebody else don't like me, you heard what they said. You don't even know me. That's stupid. Get to know me for yourself. Now, if my reputation lines up with what somebody else said, then you separate. Woo! Stop it. Stop being petty, messy, or on dumb stuff as a child of God. And secondly, the second solution on how you deal with folk like that is that you just don't go there with them. You don't go there with them. When you realize that somebody is just messy, on dumb stuff, or being petty, don't allow them to pull you down onto their level. You need to be mature. No, I'm not going there with you. I'm not going there with you. You my cousin, but I'm not going there. You my sister, you my brother, naturally speaking, but I'm not going there. Look, you my spouse, I love you, but I'm not going there. You want to know how to really get on somebody? Look at what Paul taught young folk in the book of Romans. I believe it was the 12th chapter. He said, when folk do you wrong, do them right. You'll heap coals of fire on their head. Just do them right. When me and my wife used to be petty, I used to bring her her plate. You need anything else? You need me to take you anywhere? And she'd be looking at me like, you need to stop it. No, I got to do the word. We got to get this pettiness out our relationship. You have to be to the point, young folk, where you don't let folk take you somewhere that you know you don't want to go. She want me to say something. I ain't going to say nothing. She want me to go off, but I ain't gonna go off. Because it really ain't what she's saying it is, so I'm not going to even waste my breath, waste my energy, waste my time. Sometimes, young folk, you got to learn how not just to say anything. Just hold your peace. Just let them go ahead and talk about you. Just hold your peace. Let them get all of that out of you. Just hold your peace. I'm not going there with you. Or say what Pastor Baker liked to tell folks. I'm not arguing with you. That's what I like to say. I'm not going to argue with you. What I done said, I done said. I'm not arguing with you. Why don't you test that out? Look at somebody and say, I'm not going there with you. Now look at somebody else, if you're bold enough, and say, I'm not arguing with you. I know I'm cute. I'm not going to argue with you about my outfit. I like my outfit. I'm not going to argue with you. You have a right to your opinion. I'm not going there with you. I'm not going to have no headache dealing with this dumb stuff. I'm finna go to sleep. I'm finna get off this phone. Y'all talking that dumb stuff. I'm trying to go to sleep. I'm not going there with y'all. Y'all ought to try it again. Look at somebody and say, I ain't going there with you. Let me tell you something. Where you want to eat? I don't know. It's up to you. Well, do you want such a... Didn't I just say it's up to you? I'm not arguing with you. Woo! Look at somebody and say, this is a good life skill. Yeah, I'm not going there with you. Learn, young folk, you don't have to answer every phone call. Learn, young folk, you don't have to reply to every text. You got to learn. Matter of fact, I'm going to mute you. I found out when people include me on group texts. I don't like group texts. And they get to talking stuff. Look, hide alert. I don't want to have to deal with all of this stuff. And sometimes I get bold. Will you please take me, remove me from this right here? Look at somebody say, you got to be bold. Yeah, you can't be calling yourself no trendsetter and you don't know how to stand up for yourself. So just don't let folk take you there. I got to show y'all something. Y'all still learning? All right. Let's go to Proverbs 26. This is going to back up what I'm teaching you. Proverbs 26. I got me an amen corner right here. And I didn't even pay them. Let's go to Proverbs 26 and 4. Look at this right here. Do not, help me read it. What do you say? No. Them first two. What did he say? Do not answer a fool according to his or her folly. Look at this. Lest you also be like them. So you don't go there with folk. Why you ain't called me back? Because I ain't had time to deal with that. Why you didn't get back with me? Because I done told you how I feel about it, and it ain't nothing else to discuss. I think we need to read that again. Proverbs 26 and 4, this your rhema. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. I'm going to give you a life skill. Sometimes just look at a person. When they talking and acting, just look at them. Don't even answer, just look at them. You ain't got nothing to say? And guess what they going to do? Either they going to keep acting a fool and making themselves look bad, or they just going to say, forget it, and leave the situation alone. But in your mind, in your spirit, I ain't answering no fool because I ain't trying to be like them. I'm not going there. Look at somebody say, I'm not going there. Is that good teaching? The second person that Solomon reveals is the one I really want to deal with, is a person of understanding. So first he done talked about a person that enjoys what? Folly. And now we know how to deal with that type of person, right? But now he's talking about in the same verse, a person of understanding. Now, we read earlier that understanding is what comes from the mouth of God. And the mouth of God, young people, has to do with God sent preacher, his prophets, his pastor, and my Bible. And so understanding is the message that I get from God every week. I need to make sure that I'm receiving understanding from the word. But understanding also has to do with when you recognize that something is evil, you leave it alone. That's what Job said in Job 28 and 28. You are a person of understanding who departs from evil. So I'm hearing the word, but when I leave, I'm going to see some sinful things, some wicked things. But because I got understanding, I leave it alone. No, I'm not watching that program. That's just too far right there. I can't fool with that. No, I like this person, but I can't hang with them because they like to keep up too much evil. So I'm going to depart from them. I'm not going to go there, but you check out Job 28 and 28, and he defines understanding as a person who departs from evil. So understanding is twofold. I get the word from the preacher, and I depart from evil. What is understanding? It's when I get and apply the word from God's preacher, and it's when I see evil, I leave it alone. He says, a man of understanding, in our verse, walks uprightly. A woman of understanding walks up rightly. Walking, young people, has to do with our lifestyle. I'm going to live a certain way. I'm going to think, talk, and act the way God has prescribed in his written and revealed word. Walks has to do with our lifestyle, thank you, in this section. And your walk, my walk, is very important, young people. See, Jesus taught over in the book of Matthew 15, around the 8th verse. Listen, he said, there's a lot of people around me that honor me with their lips. He says, but their heart is far from me. So they saying some churchy things, saying some respectable things about God, but when you look at their heart or their lifestyle, it's not adding up. David revealed in the book of Samuel that man looks on the outside, but God looks at our heart, or our actions, or our lifestyle. How is your lifestyle? How are you thinking, talking, and acting. We gotta, as Minister Sarita said earlier, as the Spirit of God led her, we gotta do a self-check. How is our lifestyle? How is your lifestyle at school? How is your lifestyle on the job? How is your lifestyle on the internet? How is your lifestyle when you're off by yourself? Look at somebody and help me ask the question. Say, how is your lifestyle? That's what God is looking at. He wants us to be genuine with our lifestyle. Does that mean we're going to be flawless? No. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? No. But that's what we're striving for. I'm striving for perfection. What about you? I'm striving to be the type of person that God wants me to be. He's concerned about my lifestyle. If God has deemed you a leader, are you walking like a leader outside the church? If God has chosen you to be a minister, are you a minister the way God has prescribed outside the church? If God has chosen you to be a praise and worship singer, how are or is your lifestyle outside the church? Lifestyle is important. And that's what he's looking at. Am I right about it? And here in our verse, if we have understanding, our lifestyle or our walk is going to be in uprightness. God is expecting us to continue to be upright, just, live by faith. Woo, how many know that's a special lifestyle? That's the lifestyle that God has said that we should live by. We don't walk by sight. No, we walk by faith. I'm an upright young man. You're an upright young woman. Upright folk believe in prayer. Upright folk believe in talking to a God who they can't see with their natural eyes, but they have an understanding that their God's ears are open to the cries of the righteous. I'm upright. Upright folk believe in giving God his offerings and his tithe. Even when it get tight, they're going to make sure that God got his money. Why? They are upright. Upright folk believe in telling the truth and not telling lies. Because if we tell lies, then our father is the devil. Oh, look at somebody and ask them, say, are you upright? Upright folk ain't perfect. The righteous fall seven times, but they get right back up again. That sounds like some of the trendsetters. We ain't perfect. We ain't 100%. But one thing we do is we get back up after we mess up and keep moving forward. Am I talking about anybody in here? Oh, I'm getting excited. Do I have any upright folk here at the MSW? Most importantly, upright folk, they hear the word and they put it into action. Upright folk do what Bishop Walker taught as he was led by the Holy Spirit. They believe in the unseen. They believe that the unseen is more powerful than the seen. They believe that what they see is only temporary, but they are expecting and living by the eternal or the continual blessing. I can talk about Daniel. I can talk about the Hebrew boys. I can talk about Joseph, but I want to talk about some of you here. Are you up? Are you upright? Woo, he talking about me. I'm upright. I'm upright, Lord. I know I'm not where I need to be, but I know I'm in your will, Lord. I'm thinking, I'm talking, and I'm acting according to the written and revealed word. Lord, upright folk believe in praising you. Even when their situation is not going the way they desire it to go, they still got a praise on the inside, and they let it reflect on the
on the outside. Did you hear the Lord use Minister Sarita? If you upright, you gonna praise God. If you upright, you gonna give God the glory. No matter what's going on your row, I will clap, I will shout, I will turn in victory, I will hallelujah, because I am up. Thank God for Sister V on the keyboard, but I still got my own instruments. Thank God for Brother Michael on the bass, but I got my own instruments. Thank God for the three drummers, but I got my own instruments. I can dance, I can leap, I can turn, I can sing, because I am up. I'm upright. I'm upright. You need to be proud to be upright. You got folk that's proud to be gay, proud to be homosexual. You need to be proud to be living by faith. Am I right about it? I'm upright. I'm upright. And we got to have that understanding, young folk. We upright. Am I talking right? And that's how he wants us to walk. He wants his young folk, listen, to continue to walk uprightly. He says, walking uprightly. It's a continual thing. Young folk, upright folk mess up again, but they're continual. Okay? The key is we don't practice sin. You're going to mess up, but you got to be continual. Look at somebody say, you're going to mess up. But be continual. Yeah, my athletes in here, sometimes you get your shot blocked. But if you're a real baller, you're going to shoot again. Sometimes you get locked up on defense, but you better pass me that ball again. That's how it go. Coach may have got mad and set me down. And how many know sometimes you get set down in God, but he going to call your number again. And see, that's how upright folk are. We mess up. But we know God will give us another chance again, especially because his grace, his mercy, it endures forever. And I want to encourage someone in here, you striving to live this life, but you be so hard on yourself sometimes. You got to understand what the Bible says, that Jesus is our great high priest, young folk. And the Hebrew writer said he can be touched with our infirmities or weaknesses. He knows that you're not perfect, but he gets pleasure when you just keep on trying. Oh, God gets pleasure when you miss the mark, but you make up in your mind, Lord, I'm coming back again. Woo, you ought to call me Terminator because I'll be back. Look at somebody say, I'll be back. Yeah, I may mess up, but I'll be back. I may didn't pray the way I should yesterday, but I'll be back. I may not have let my light shine the way I should have, but I'll be back. Man, I thought the Terminator was dead. Then they had about five more movies. He just kept coming. And that's how you gotta be. To the person in here that's just so hard on themselves and feel like giving up, don't you give up. Don't you cast away therefore your confidence. You got to endure until the end. Lord, I said I wasn't gonna do it no more, and then you did it again. How many ever been there before? Lord, I won't do this no more. Then you find yourself doing it again. But the key, young folk, is don't you quit. That's the key. Let folk talk about you. Let them look at you. That's their business. You just handle your business. You keep working out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. You know, there were two folk. I know God is talking to somebody. But there was two folk that came to the Lord. And one of them came to the Lord beating his chest, talking about how righteous he was and how great he was and how he never did this and how he always prayed and how he always fasted. But then it was another one that came in the same prayer service, the same service, and said, Lord, help me. I'm not perfect. I sinned from time to time. Be merciful. You know who the greater was?
the one who was just humble. Lord, just help me. Help me. Help me. I'm trying, Lord. Help me. And how many know our God is a very present help? Yeah, a very present help in the time of trouble as well as need. But again, the key is don't start practicing now. If you done started practicing some sin, that ain't no struggle. You done backslid. But the good news is you can come back. Am I right about it? He is faithful and just to cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. And so when it comes to being upright, I want to leave us with some understanding we need to have. Because that's who we're dealing with. We done talked about the man that enjoys folly. But I want you to understand some things about walking uprightly in addition to what the Holy Spirit has already given us. Let's go to Proverbs 14. Y'all still with me? Man, you ought to be encouraged. Anybody encouraged? Proverbs 14. So let's look at this man that walks uprightly and get some more understanding. Proverbs 14 and 2. And it reads, he or she who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord. But he who is perverse in his ways despises him. The truth we want to get out of this verse is when we walk uprightly, it means we fear the Lord. When you're striving to live by faith, young people, you're telling God with your actions that you respect him. Lord, I don't understand everything about your ways right now, but I respect you because I know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. No one in here understands God in totality. Not in totality. He's just too grand. He's too awesome. But when we walk uprightly, we're saying, Lord, I fear you. I worship you. I respect you more than myself, my peers, and so forth. I'm going to do the right thing because that's what you want me to do. I don't always want to do the right thing, but I'm going to do the right thing. Lord, that's me walking uprightly. I fear you. Now, get this. As you mature, God is going to constantly test if we fear him or not. Yeah. The more you ask God to do for you, well, you got to see, do you fear him? Are you still going to walk uprightly? Because there's some folk, young people, they talk big talk. But when test time comes, it's another story. Or some folk, God will do what they ask. And once they get from God what they have asked from God, they stop walking uprightly. But life, young people, when you're walking with God, he will constantly, occasionally, and often need to see, do you still fear me? Abraham is an excellent example. Are y'all still listening? Abraham had received a promise from God that he would bless him with a son. Abraham went through a number of stages to where finally he believed God. And his belief, the Bible says, was accounted to him for righteousness. So his faith, God looked at it and said, yeah, you walking uprightly. Let me go ahead and bless you. He blessed him with Isaac. And then shortly thereafter, God still had to see if he feared him. He still had to see, after I done for you, are you still going to live right? Are you still going to trust me? So he tells Abraham, take your son, and he says, your only son, and take him to the mountain that I show you, and I want you to offer him there for me as a sacrifice. The Bible says that Abraham got his son, his donkey, and his servants and went toward the mountain that God showed him. Abraham would say, well, you done gave him to me, so if you want me to kill him as a sacrifice, come on. Got his servants, his donkeys, and his son and said, let's go. Isaac, who had been taught about the things of God, he looked around on the journey and said, Lord, Daddy, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where's the sacrifice? What we offering up today? Abraham said, look, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. Come on. See, sometimes, young folk, you don't need to tell people all your business. Could you imagine what would have taken place? You the one. But he said, no, the Lord shall provide a sacrifice. What is that teaching us, young people? I don't care how close you are to folk. Everybody don't need to know all your business. That is a good lesson. Abraham didn't tell Isaac everything that was going to take place. He only told him what was beneficial. Because he knew, I got to get this boy up here on the altar. And if I tell him he to sacrifice. Imagine what will happen if you tell everybody everything that God done revealed to you. Man, God showed me being a business owner. And folks, look, you. Man, God showed me going to college. You. Man, God showed me doing this. No, no, no. Just tell folk what's necessary or nothing at all. So they get up to the place, and Abraham sets up and lays his son down and raises the knife to kill his own son. And listen, young folk, the Lord spoke and said, stop. Don't kill him. Look into the thicket. I have provided for you a ram. It happened just like he said. How many know that power in your words? It happened just like he said. But this is what I want you to understand. God said this to Abraham. Now I know that you fear me. You are willing to do this. You are willing to live uprightly and do it. Now I know. I know that you respect me. I know that you love me. I know that you are a true worshiper. And see, sometimes, young folks, some of the things that you're going through, God just needs to know. Do you really fear him? Who's more important, your friends or God? Who's more important, the job or God? Who's more important, your spouse or God? Get this, who's more important, yourself or God? What they gonna say about me? When you say stuff or I say stuff like that, you're basically saying you're more important than God. But Jesus taught us, if anybody gonna follow me, let him first deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me what? Daily. So sometimes, young folk, you have to deny. You gotta deny yourself just to show God, I fear you. You told me to pray, I'm going to pray. You told me to fast, I'm going to fast. You told me to put this on the altar, I'm going to put this on the altar. Lord, you gave me a list. Every month, make sure I bless these folk. It's costing me something, but I know you told me to do this. I love you, Lord. So if you done gave me the money, you just want me to be a vessel to get the money to somebody else. But I need the money. But who do I love, God or money? That's what the Bible says. You can't serve two masters. And see, sometimes we get to asking God for stuff, but he need to know, do you fear me? Now, before I do that, I need to know. I want to tell you this quick story before I go to the next point. And this has been over 15, probably 18 years. There was a young man, at the time he was a boy, that went to this church. And he had two parents, and they were saved. The house was upright, okay? And they were young, very young in the Lord and young in age. But they were faithful in ministry, from the mother, the father, and the son. The The wife or the mother took ill, and eventually the Lord called her home, and she died in a young age. She died in a young age. But the blessing is that she died in the Lord. So it was better for her, right? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And is being with the Lord better? So it was better for her. So she passed. And so after she passed, an inheritance came forth, a check, and the husband began to stop walking uprightly. Took the money, started doing and buying some of everything. Started neglecting the son. His uprightness began to affect his household, to where the daddy backslid. The son entered into a state of confusion, and eventually, for a while, he was out the will of God. Why are you telling me this? Why did the Spirit of God reveal this to me earlier to share? See, young folk, God can do great things for you. But if you're not where you need to be, when he get to doing great things, you'll stop walking uprightly. Lord, give me the scholarship. He give you the scholarship. Then you go off to school and you stop walking uprightly. Now you done spent 8 years walking uprightly from elementary all the way to high school. Then he give you your heart's desire and then you stop walking uprightly. That's not the pattern. You don't do that. You have to continue to walk up right. Lord, give me the car. I have seen folk at this church walk to church, ride the van to church, young people, excited about coming to ministry. God finally bless them with a car, and then they stop coming to church. They going everywhere else but church. You don't do that. When God does for you, remember Abraham. Just keep walking uprightly. Just keep walking uprightly. Don't get on that dumb stuff. This is prophetic to our young folk. God is going to bless you for your uprightness. You just got to have in your mind, when he start doing certain things, I just got to keep walking uprightly. Woo! You ought to get excited right there. And this is what I love about how God has this church set up. They're witnesses to this type of teaching that is happening. We got young adults here today that have been walking uprightly since elementary, middle school, high school. And you can look in their lives and you can see that God is continually blessing them. But this is the wonderful thing. They still in church. They still active in ministry. They didn't get the big head. God blessed them with a house. They still coming to church. God blessed them with a job or a career. They still coming to church. They still on YLT. They still serving on the praise team. They still doing this. They still doing that. They know what God has called them to do. So when God get to blessing you, and he will, and I'm going to show it to you. Look at somebody say, keep living uprightly. Proverbs 2. Oh, Lord, I got to hurry up. Proverbs 2. Again, we're getting understanding about walking uprightly. I'm going to hit this like a 50-yard dash. Y'all ready? All right. Proverbs 2 and 7. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. God will divinely protect you when you walk uprightly. Now look, when you and I live uprightly, we're going to have affliction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous or the upright. You're going to go through things. But I want you to remember, God has a shield around you. God is divinely protecting you. If God chooses you to go through something in your body for living right, understand that God is divinely protecting you. He's allowing me to go through this, but he's only going to allow it to go so far. I'm divinely protected. Oh, God. Folks in the world would say, I got a force field around me. Oh, yeah, I got angels around me. So much so, Satan understood this. Have y'all ever read the first chapter of Job? Well, when Satan went to God and he wanted to touch him and try to prove that he wasn't who he was, and God said, you can touch him. And so he said, good, I can touch him. And God said, yeah, but you can't do this and you can't do that. You got to spare his life. He said, all right. Satan went to try to mess with him. And he said, now look, Lord, I would try to do some things, but I can't touch him. You got a shield around him. Y'all ain't never, matter of fact, let's go to Job 1. Y'all hurry up. I got to close this. Y'all hurry up. Job 1. I told y'all 50-yard dash. Hurry up. Job 1. I got to show y'all this. Some of y'all ain't ready. You heard it, but you ain't ready. You need to read this. Wakanda ain't got nothing on this. No, in the movie, Wakanda, they had a big old shield around the whole city. This ain't got nothing on what God has around us. Look at this. Look at Job 1 and 10. See, folks get excited about Wakanda and them. But let's get excited about Job and them. Look at this. Job 1 and 10. Y'all with me? Have you not? This is Satan talking to God. Have you not made a hedge around him? Protection around him. A shield around him. A defense. Now look at this shield. Around his household and around all that he has. Good God. On every side. You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions have increased in the land. See, Job was an upright man, but even Satan knew he was divinely protected. What is this teaching us? If you living right, folk better be careful about messing with you. They better be careful about forming weapons against you. Job and his stuff was divinely protected. Well, all I got is a bike. You got divine protection around you and your bike. Well, all I got is this old truck or this old hand-me-down car. You better recognize that you got divine protection around your vehicle. Got divine protection. Some of you been in accidents and you look at the pictures and you be like, how in the world did I walk out of that? Let me help you. You have divine protection. You got it. When you upright, you got angels. One writer said, we got angels encamped all around us. Oh, angels. I know, I said, Lord, I know I got to have an angel in my backyard, on my house, or at the mailbox somewhere, because you said Job had protection, a hedge all around him. Get that in your mind, in your spirit. You are divinely protected. And the only thing that can happen to you is if God allows it. So that means what we're going through, God allows it. Am I right about it? Now, we learned last week we don't need to die before our time, so we don't need to be doing that dumb stuff, bringing no trouble to our front door on our own. But when you walking uprightly, we're going to go through things. Even as a young person, young adult, you're going to go through things. You're going to have problems on your job. You're going to have problems with your vehicle. You're going to have problems. That's just a part. It's a part of life. But always remember, it's a shield around me. I went to take one of my cars one time to get serviced. I had this which one was it? Well, it was a bit, it was one of them, but I took it to get serviced. And the mechanic was a specialist. He was certified in dealing with Mercedes. And what I knew my car needed some service, but at the time I just didn't have, I didn't have the money. But thank God I had multiple cars so it could just sit until I got the money up and I was able to go get it fixed. So finally, y'all still with me? I took the vehicle to get it fixed. And after he did his inspection, before he did any work, he was just standing there staring at me. I said, what? He was just looking at me just like this. He was confounded. He was dismayed. He was thrown off. I said, what? He said, man, I don't know how you still living. He said, I don't know how this car is still operating the way it should. He said, the problem you got here, this car should have been none. Did this, that, and the other. But I'm divinely protected. But then God will get you to the point to where you got the money when stuff happened. But then you'd be like, Lord, I got to get rid of this $2,000 just to get this fixed. But last time you didn't have the money. This time you got it. So just no matter whatever state you're in, just be thankful. Just be content. Would you rather have the $2,000 and have to pay it or not have the $2,000? Rather have the $2,000. Man, a couple of months ago, I had something happen to a vehicle, and I'm thinking, $400, I'll be straight. $400, I was had my chest poked out. Lord, we good. Man took the vehicle. He called me back. I hate to tell you this. That's how the conversation started. I said, don't start now. What you need is major. And it's going to cost you $2,200. And then he said this, I can fix it in an hour. I said, man, quit. Can't you do it for the $400? No. $2,200. Thankfully, I had it. But I said, give me some time. I had to let that money go. I don't want to let this $2,200 go. Oh, God. But when I think back over where God bought me from, when I needed the $2,200, y'all keep living. Y'all keep living. You want all these nice things? These nice things cost. Costs. It costs. Some of y'all are like, God, no, it costs. Even the Bible say here on earth, rust and moth happen. Things tear up. Yeah. Last verse. Oh, God. Let's close on Psalm 112. Y'all still with me? All right, I got about five of y'all. The rest of y'all with me? Let's go to Psalm 112 and we done. Understanding about walking uprightly. This is why it's so important. I want to close on this. Psalm 112 is a good verse. You need to read the first four verses when you have time, but verse 2, I want to hone in on, is talking about a blessed man, a man that walks uprightly. Notice it says, his descendants will be mighty on earth. Blessed, mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. The generation, the family, the legacy. See, one reason the enemy comes at you in your youth so much, it's because he know it's bigger than you. If he can corrupt you, get you all twisted up, then he can affect your seed later in life. Yeah. And so you got to understand, I'm walking uprightly, not just for myself, but folk at my church, and one day when I have a family. Yeah. The generation. Folk need to see upright mid-20-year-olds here at this church. They need to see that. They need to see that. They need to see the blessing upon your life so they can be encouraged to keep walking uprightly. Yeah, they need to see it. So it's bigger than just us. I turned 48 this year, back in April. I don't look it, though. I turned 48. And sometimes, young people, sometimes I have things attack me in my mind about ministry and so forth, but I done matured to the point that I understand God has chosen me to be an example to young people. God gonna use my life to demonstrate to different generations that if you walk uprightly, you'll be blessed. And it's just not me. I'm the pastor, but it's just not me. We got other adults in here that are witnesses. Young folk, if you just stay walking uprightly, you can look at Minister Akilali. Lord knows we hear from Minister George every time he get up here about how blessed he is. And I pray he keep testifying. But he's showing the next generation. Look at how beneficial it is to live upright. Unemployed for over a year, but God sustained him and now just catapulted, just tremendously blessed. I say what I said last week in my cloak. Just do right by God. He gonna bless you. Just keep doing right. Encourage yourself. Say, I gotta keep doing right. I gotta keep doing right. Generations depend on it. Yeah, I just gotta keep doing right. Because new praise team members are depending on me. I gotta keep living up right. Because God added musicians, and I want to be a good example to the new musicians. I gotta keep living upright. Because God has blessed me, He gonna bless others that come right in the MSW. Look at the promise. The generation of the upright will be blessed. How many are encouraged after this teaching, even if it stepped on your toes, to continue to walk uprightly? By a show of hands.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.